When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
World class, Jim Crockett Promotions, big time wrestling, Mid-South. $2 late fee presents Territory Marks with Paul London and Zach Schaefer. The show that celebrates matches from the glory days of professional wrestling. From one man who lives it and another man who loves it.
Okay, it is the day that you've all been waiting for, the season premiere of Territory Marks, season two.
Awesome. Season two.
It's guaranteed to be better than WrestleMania 2, I can tell you that.
It might be. Well, that's a heavy... I'm trying to think of matches on WrestleMania 2.
It was the one with King Kong Bundy and Hogan in the cage.
Oh, right. Yes, okay. Iconic blue cage. But... yeah, we'll see. We'll give WrestleMania 2 a run for its money here as we start season deux.
Well, season deux is going to be a little bit different than season I guess you could say, because the format's changed a little bit. We have a slightly different change in the way we're doing things now. Normally, the last season, we were doing two matches an episode. Now we're doing one match. And before anyone says, whoa, what do you mean? You cutting costs? No, we're not cutting costs. We're not trimming anything. We're going to actually enhance our season by adding an interview once a month. So starting this month... we're going to have one match that we'll cover on this episode. Then we'll follow it up with an interview with someone connected to the match, which nice. We'll get to in just a minute. If for some reason, scheduling-wise, booking-wise, it doesn't work out that we have a guest for that month, we'll do two episodes, which would be two matches. So you'll get the same great content. You're getting more for your value now, which is
right. WrestleMania 2 offer you that? Probably.
No. Did Bill Watts offer you that in the territories?
Probably not. Did Hot Shots Part 2 offer that? It did.
Did Predator 2 offer that?
A freaking alien. Alien. I can't even. I try to say it like that. So alien. I can't say that actually.
I will say our season two will be as good as Aliens. How about that?
Yes, and we will try to interview some space marines.
Yeah, sure, why not? Actually, who knows, we may end up having non-wrestlers on the show as well, but they're connected to wrestling in some way. Stay tuned, guys, because this season is taking off like Tommy Wildfire Rich. Maybe we'll get him on the show down the road, who knows. But
Wildfire.
This month we have an interview coming up with Mark Lawrence. Mark Lawrence, well, you'll hear more about him very soon. And in order to keep it connected, we're going to be covering a match that Mark Lawrence, legendary announcer and commentator, is doing the play-by-play for. Before we get to that, I just want to say, it's very special that we're getting to do this again, season two. I am honored to be with you, Paul.
Likewise. Thank you.
Love you like no other.
Love you too, bro, man.
We are just rocking and rolling as the Night Boys, as the Territory Boys,
the Day Toys,
all the boys.
That's right.
The Day Toys, the Nighttime Games, whatever you want to call us. I don't know.
The Board Game Boys.
Right. If anyone listening is new to our show, it's an 80s wrestling podcast that focuses on the territory years of wrestling. What are the territory years? Well, look it up on Wikipedia. But if any of you are not familiar with pro wrestling and you're just like, it came to this because of 80s nostalgia. Well, you're going to get all that too.
Whoa. Filter in. Where's Logan Paul?
Are you guys going to talk about, are you going to finish the story?
You know The Rock?
Yes.
No.
I did, though. I will say really quickly, I did watch the last WrestleMania, and we had some friends over. Diallo, our brother,
yeah.
Diallo was over with his girlfriend, Angie, and I told her about Territory Marks, and she goes, oh, well, you know I'm from Minnesota. And I said, are you familiar with AWA? She goes, I'm from Minnesota. Of course I am.
That's awesome.
And I said, are you familiar with Greg Gagne? And she goes, I haven't heard that name in forever. Well, tease. Next month, we might be featuring Greg Gagne for a specific reason. You'll find that out.
We are big fans of Texas, Minnesota, Tennessee, Oregon. We dabble in some Florida. We go to the Carolinas when we're feeling like getting rusty. We love it all, but you will find a common thread that we do tend to gravitate towards a lot of Minnesota, a lot of Tennessee. We just love great wrestling. And a lot of these heavier markets are where these stars that we're very familiar with, they had to start somewhere. And so we're just really happy and fortunate that y'all are with us listening and that we're able to all share together the love for pro wrestling in its purest form, you know, and its most fun form, I should say, at least for me. I feel you feel probably the same way.
Absolutely.
It's still real to me, damn it. So we're excited. Thank y'all for being on board as we begin season dos.
Yes, we have an interview. After this episode, we will have an interview with Mark Lawrence. And so we're going to cover a match that features Mark Lawrence.
Let's get right to the matches.
In May of 1985, the second annual Parade of Champions took place in World Class Championship Wrestling. Bill Mercer was the voice of World Class Championship Wrestling. However, Mark Lawrence was also the voice of Championship Wrestling. You'll hear his whole story very soon. And the second annual Parade of Champions took place in May in Dallas, Texas, at the Texas Stadium.
Yep.
Actually in Irving, Texas, right?
Yep. Cowboys.
Is that where the Cowboys play?
I think that's where they train. Irving, I think that might be where they play now. It's like right across from DFW.
Okay.
I know, because Texas Stadium's like further up. I feel like that's where they had you know, the memorial, the actual memorials. But I was trying to look at the layout here because they have the double rings in this match.
They do.
And that's something I thought was really
they do
cool.
For a very large, it was a 12-man two-ring tag team match. That's not the match we're going to be covering today. That match, so this card, by the way, so this was the second annual Parade of Champions, which honored the passing of David Von Erich in season one. You, Paul, selected the David Von Erich, sorry, the Kerry Von Erich versus Ric Flair match where Kerry won the title versus Ric Flair. He dropped the title soon after. We covered that in that episode, so we don't need to get into it. This card had 9 matches on it that went from fairly obscure names like Skip Young and Johnny Mantell.
Don't you skip over Skip Young.
Sorry. Mike Von Erich was featured in this show. Gino Hernandez and Chris Adams wrestled the Great Kabuki and Scott Casey, and the Fantastics and the Midnight Express. But the 12-man match that was the reason for that two ring was the Von Erichs, Kevin, Mike, and the Fabulous Freebirds against Chris Adams, Gino Hernandez, Rip Oliver, One Man Gang,
wow,
Kamala,
Oliver,
and Dr. Death Steve Williams. How about
that?
So that's quite a lineup. And the thing is about this particular memorial, this particular show, a lot of these wrestlers did double duty, triple duty, because Kevin Von Erich, after this match, had a match with Ric Flair. It ended in a double countout. But the match we're talking about today was the main event of the Parade of Champions. It was Kerry Von Erich with Fritz against One Man Gang with Gary Hart.
45-minute time limit. First of all, there are two stipulations. Now, should the One Man Gang win the match, then Fritz Von Erich and One Man Gang will meet in the ring and wrestle. But should Kerry Von Erich achieve the winning fall, then Fritz Von Erich will take the razor and shave the head of Gary Hart. Now, Gary Hart presents from Chicago, weighing 487 pounds, the One Man Gang. And his challenger, represented by his father, Fritz Von Erich, from Denton County, weighing 265 pounds, Kerry Von Erich. Your referee is David Manning, and the keeper of the handcuffs is Rick Hazard.
Well, there is attention from all over the world onto this ring as Kerry Von Erich prepares to meet the One Man Gang. We have been waiting for this bout, hoping for this bout for months now.
The stipulation was if Kerry lost, Fritz would have to face One Man Gang. If One Man Gang lost, Gary Hart would lose his hair.
Like Hart, Gary Hart, notorious heel manager, you know, as you either know or will know throughout viewing Gary Hart matches or that we cover on here, he brought in, you know, weapon after weapon after weapon, and was he just had this bloodthirst after the Von Erichs. And so the idea here was that Fritz was over seeing Gary Hart constantly interfere in the matches, and so the idea was, well, I'll handcuff myself to him to make sure he can't get in there. So Fritz Von Erich has handcuffed himself to Gary Hart. They're both sitting ringside for this this match of the big beasts here. I mean, Kerry was the second biggest Von Erich. He's definitely the biggest muscular wise. And I think he stood in at about 6'3".
Yeah.
David was closer to 6'8", as he was reported to be. It could have been closer to 6'7".
Yeah.
But as far as complete package size presentation, it was Kerry. But then you look at One Man Gang, who was easily close to 6'6", if not a little more than that, and well over 300 pounds.
He was actually 6'9".
6'9".
And his build weight was 450 pounds.
Okay, well,
I doubt that.
I would guess he was more in the 6'6", 6'7" range, but
he with the afro 6'9", though.
It might be. Oh, well, yeah. Well, he has the mohawk here, right?
He does.
Yeah.
And that was kind of recent. You know, just really quickly to interrupt you.
No, please.
One Man Gang, a.k.a. George Gray, debuted in 1977, and he didn't start – he bumped around various territories until 1985 when he wound up with World Class Championship Wrestling. He was a part of Skandor Akbar's Devastation Incorporated, and
yes,
then as well as Gary Hart. He feuded with – so he came in at this time pretty much to feud specifically with the Von Erichs.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he brings in these hired guns to try and take out the Von Erichs,
which,
right?
I love. So, and by the way, yeah, Devastation Incorporated is one of the best heel faction names of all time, in my opinion.
I agree. I agree. No authors, no editors, no publications, none of that stuff. They are pure devastation.
Yes,
Incorporated.
And I guess apparently this was around the time he started sporting that sick mohawk. This is way before One Man Gang became, you know, Akeem,
yeah,
and kind of became more of a comedy act, because this is the time when he was a true brutal, brutal, bloodthirsty heel. I loved him in,
yeah,
this role. He was such a badass.
Same here. I always thought of, I think they just call him the gang, or they just call him gang at times.
Yes.
But I always, and I still feel this way today, I always think of Bull Hurley from Over the Top.
Perfect example.
When I think of One Man Gang, you know, he's just mean and dangerous and huge. just a giant boulder of a man.
He really is. He really, and like, what's it, is that company called like Zombie Sailor? Is that what that company's called? They make figures. They make those custom figures. They make a one-man gang figure, which is so cool looking, by the way. Shout out to Zombie Sailor Toys.
Shout out to Zombie Sailor Toys. You never know who they might make.
You never know. They make great toys, by the way. They make great figures inspired by the old school
never
days.
Know who they might make.
Anyways, let's get to the match. You know, this is prior to Kerry injuring himself, his having his, you know, legendary, well, historical foot injury.
Be a year later, I think, right? A year later, lost in 86.
Yep. So he, and he's looking great. Your thoughts on this match?
I absolutely love it. This match, you know, we don't need to watch a one-man gang match to watch some technical wrestling. Right. Hell, you don't even really want to watch a Kerry Von Erich match for technical wrestling. He knew how to do that, but just an absolute athletic freak. So they start off the match, and Gang tries to kind of get the cheap shot on him and clubs him right kind of over the head, and then kind of turns to the crowd. Yeah, and turns around and eats an amazing drop kick. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's literally the first thing Kerry hits him with is just and Kerry's drop kick. Certainly before the foot injury. I'm trying to think if he even started doing it. I want to say he did it after the foot injury as well, but it obviously wasn't the same, but it was still beautiful just because he was such an incredible athlete that he could still get up there and plant it. But this drop kick that he hits him with, he just sticks him, and it's awesome. And really what I loved about this match was that everything meant something.
Right.
And that Gang, obviously, he had the size advantage. You see that throughout the match because he's dominating most of the matches. He's beating down on Kerry. But they really just get full mileage out of everything. You know, he's working the bear hugs. He's totally doing everything with his size. One thing I didn't fully love about this match, I'll say one thing that I found, I did find that there were portions in the match when the stuff going on with Fritz and Gary Hart on the outside got a little distracting at times, where it was taking, not that it was taking away from the match, but it was, but it did in a way, just, but I think they also knew that it wasn't at any point that was really crucial, you know. But there are moments when you're kind of, you know, you're watching the match and you're kind of like, oh, the crowd's really like getting up and like, oh, they're responding to what's going on the outside.
Right.
So it gets a little distracting there, which makes sense. I mean, they're playing in this storyline.
Well, I would say really quickly too, they're mic'd up, so you can hear them talking at times.
Yeah.
Over Mark Lawrence, because Mark Lawrence is doing, you know, everyone gives Bill Mercer credit for being the voice of World Class. But Mark was also excellent on the mic, and he really tells a story solo, you know, doing the commentary. But yeah, Fritz and Gary, who are bickering back and forth to each other, which
Pretty funny.
It's pretty funny, but then it's also distracting too.
Yeah, it can be. It certainly can be. I definitely liked hearing it more than kind of like taking my eyes off the match and going, because throughout the match, as Gang is dominating and doing this and that, you hear Gary's like, I taught him that. That's right. Just like I taught you. And like, he's just really trying to play himself up as like this brainiac guru.
Who has
the recipe for success. Yeah. So with the stipulation being, if Kerry wins, they're going to, and they made it very clear. They said that he's going to take a razor. Fritz is going to take a razor and shave the head of Gary Hart. You're fighting for a lot here. I really loved this match because, again, it got full value out of everything. It is pretty much kind of a slobber knocker, as you would say. It gets a little brawly, but fast forwarding to kind of the midpoint of the match, there are several times you would think Kerry Von Erich, he's got the tornado discus punch. He hits that several times, a couple times to the stomach.
Yeah.
He hits Gang, and Gang sells in a way where he's not going to just sit there and get pinned. So Gang also makes wonderful use selling wise into the ropes.
Right.
in this match, you start to wonder, and he moves around so well too. You know, he takes the turnbuckle to the stomach and just, you know, but he's almost falling out of the ring, and right. he's tangled in the ropes and just gets really full use out of this whole ring. And you get a little distracted at first too, because you keep thinking like, are they going to spill into the other ring? Because right. there's literally a ring set up right next to it. So, you kind of have those hopes. You're thinking, oh, where is this going to go? Because I don't know that anybody had ever seen that at the time until World Class introduced that, you know, the rings side by side.
Yeah, World Class does not get a lot of that credit. They were, I believe they were the first to do that double ring, as well as one of the first to do the ring music, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, oftentimes people think, yeah. oh, that was what WCW did. No, it took place way before that.
Right. With the handcuff thing happening, Gary Hart does get involved still.
Yeah, right at the end.
Which, you know, it's almost causes Kerry the victory.
Right.
But the thing that I really liked was, boy, did they really work the Iron Claw.
Yes.
And there's a time when Kerry's in the bear hug and he's fighting out of it. And as he's trying to fight out of it, withstanding the pain put on his back from, oh, I don't know, like a giant, built at 6'9", 400 pound guy, just squeezing you, you know what I mean? Like a vice.
Oh.
He kind of wiggles out and then he goes for the claw and Gang blocks it. And so there's two or three attempts towards the end where Kerry is trying to get this claw on Gang, and Gang's fighting it. And he's holding on to it. I mean, it's literally as if, you know, if you picture this in your mind, someone trying to stab a dagger into your heart, and you've got one hand on their wrist and one hand kind of on their other hand, and they're getting it closer to your heart, and you're pushing it farther away, and you're really trying, and it's like a test of strength in its own way. And I just thought, this truly puts over the Iron Claw as just literally the most feared hold in the territory. And then it gets to the point where Terry does. I thought this was a little weird because they built up the drama of that claw getting on Gang's head, and he's fighting it off and he's trying to fight it off. And then they get into something, into the ropes, I want to say, where they almost have to break the hold, and then they stand up and Kerry just puts it on him.
Yeah.
He's just like, he just puts it on him, and Gang is writhing and in pain, and he gets to the ropes somehow. But then here comes, I want to say, either another discus or a clothesline, which sends Gang into the ropes, which I thought he was going to fall all the way through. And he's literally sitting on the middle rope. His head is under the rope, but his back is outside of the rope. And he's being held off the ground. His feet are off the ground, and he's being held up just by that middle rope.
Right.
To where they make a comment saying he's about to break the ropes, comes back in. Long story short, Fritz then comes in, hooks Gang's leg, eye for an eye.
Yep.
And Kerry covers him right away, 1, 2, 3. And I love that. I love that. Because anytime they're, for the most part, when it is kind of a tit for a tat thing, whether a heel interferes and cheats, the victory has to finish right there. If the heel cheats and you're doing that, a lot of people tend to use that as kind of like a false finish now, but that doesn't do anything for the manager who cheated because it didn't pay out. There was no payoff. Right. And then, so a lot of times what you'll see is the heel manager will interfere. They'll try to get this Shyamalan false finish out of it, to where it's like, oh, that wasn't the finish. And then somehow the heel will win with something else. And it's kind of like, nah, okay. But when it's just at its cleanest, most digestible form is kind of how you see it in this match, where Gary Hart interfered, even though that was part of the whole stipulation that led to Gang getting the advantage throughout a majority of the match. Terry fighting back because he's just a super gladiator. And then a little dip, and then it's Fritz here. Here's the little ankle hook, and Kerry covers him right away. 1, 2, 3. He didn't need to cover him. He didn't need to trip him and then feed up and hit the discus punch and then the iron claw. You know what I mean? It was right. Just like eye for an eye. Wham, wham, hooks, covers him. 1, 2, 3.
That's all you got to do.
Because then he got the victory thanks to Fritz. Thanks to, you know what I mean? Not just because of that, but like it's a direct association right there, right. You know, and that's I love that, and the crowd just explodes.
Obviously, Gary Hart has schooled the one man gang on defense tactics with the gang. Gary Hart for interfering, and Kerry still comes out, even though Kerry had him high, and Gary Hart pulled his foot out from under him. Oh my goodness. Pulley. Winner of the match, Kerry Von Erich. Kerry Von Erich is the winner. You know what it means. The handcuffs still in place. Fritz sends Rick Hazard for the Clippers. Kerry tried to slam the gang. Gary interfered. When the gang tried to slam Kerry,
it's hard to say who had the most loyal fans of the different territories, but I'd be willing to put my money on those world-class fans because they were just always, always, always alive.
Based on all the stories I've seen, I've heard, and based on being in Texas for that Iron Claw premiere, it just feels like Texas treated the Von Erichs like family. And listening to Manning tell stories, Mark Lawrence, which you'll hear very soon in our upcoming interview, it was family. And as Chris Von Erich would say, my dad can whip your dad, because my dad's a nice guy, though. He's a nice guy. Don't forget, Fritz Von Erich is a nice guy. He's a nice guy, everybody.
That's not Chris at ringside. Is that Chris Champion, maybe? Or no, I'm trying to there's a bigger curly blonde guy, but he looks too mature. It's not Chris.
It's definitely not Chris. Not Chris.
I just couldn't. I was like, I'm trying to place this guy. And then after the match, there's all sorts of commotion because, you know, Gary is trying to slither away and the rest of the Von Erichs come out. At least Kevin comes down and helps, you know. So the ring gets full at the end after the match, you know, from them trying to separate gang and Kerry and. Yeah,
the ring does get full. And did you notice when, you know, Gary Hart's trying to weasel his way out, Fritz knees him in the head. And it is stiff AF. Like, it is such a stiff. Yeah. I mean, it is brutal, man. And they're clipping him. They're clipping his hair. They don't use a blade on him, but they're clipping him. And one man gang's chained to the other ring post or something to hold him back. But he's trying to get free. It's a great melee. You know, Von Erichs, we talked about another hair versus hair match with the Von Erichs. I think that was the following year, Parade of Champions, possibly in 86. It might have been. But this one is just like a it's like a lot's going on.
Yeah, there's a lot. One thing I do remember just now, I remembered that I hadn't seen before, that I don't think it quite went the way that they intended it to, but I'll certainly teach it to my students. So Gang has the size advantage. At one point, Kerry gets behind Gang and jumps up and gets the sleeper on him.
Yes.
He's on Gang's back with the sleeper, and the crowd explodes because they know that a sleeper, you know, you could go down with the sleeper. That could put you out.
Right.
So as Gang's starting to kind of, you know, go to dreamland, it was super cool. It was such a great counter. He runs towards the corner and drops to the middle, thus theoretically driving Carrie's head into the top turnbuckle.
Right.
And Mark Lawrence puts it over, but I don't know that it got Carrie very well, because Carrie just kind of just stays on him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Instead of it being kind of a stop. But it makes perfect sense that a big guy that's got a smaller person on him. I just was extremely impressed with Gang's mobility. I knew that he could move really well, but I hadn't seen him move this well. Obviously, he was younger. It's before Akeem, when he starts dancing and all that stuff. Which, by the way, if you haven't seen how he went from one man gang to Akeem, that transformation with Slick, Reverend Slick, yeah, taking place. What, talk about Predator too. This is like, we have like burning oil drums in an alley,
yeah,
and some sort of voodoo ritual, or rise, Akeem, and it's pretty classic.
Everybody in suspense, make it happen, Slick. Behold.
Akeem, wait a minute, Slick. Wait a minute. 430, 450. I recognize this man as the one-man gang.
No, 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 no. This is Akeem. Don't you ever refer to him as the one-man gang again.
Wait a minute, one-man gang? You think I just got off the...
Then you hear me, thick-headed fool. From now on, I will be known as Akeem. I'm reborn tonight, the greatest night in history.
What? I didn't just get off the turnip truck. I know better.
But before all that, this guy, I mean, he's just, like I said, looks like Bull Hurley. Looks like he got off the biggest hog motorcycle.
He's still able to get over, too, because at the end, he still looks pretty good. Like, he's still, you know, they handcuff him to the ring, and he still has his wits about him. Like, that quick pin at the end just kind of stuns him, you know, but he's back up on his
feet. Yeah, it didn't knock him out.
Yeah, so, right. So One Man Gang still looks, you know, pretty tough in the loss as well.
Absolutely. That's something I thought World Class did a great job of.
Agreed.
Was they really knew how to protect everybody, in a sense that everybody was a threat. Everybody had value.
Right.
And that's just, I mean, it really is kind of a lost art of the way that you book your talent. So I thought that was great. I loved it. I'm just such a mark. I'm such a territory mark especially for Texas wrestling and World Class Championship Wrestling. So
how could you not be, though? Like,
they're covering a lot of Von Erich stuff on here. Well, I'm from Texas. So,
well,
I
think we're only doing that. Right, exactly. And you'll hear in our upcoming interview with Mark Lawrence that, you know, we obviously wanted to highlight one of the matches that he's a part of. And we haven't covered a one-man gang match, and I've been wanting to cover a one-man gang match for some time now. It just so happens he's wrestling Kerry Von Erich. It's just coincidence, you know? It is what it is.
Right.
But it's an epic match. It's a lot of fun. We want to highlight those fun matches. Besides highlighting obscure matches, we want to also highlight the ones people might already know about, but they just haven't watched in a long time. And watch this match. Listen to this audio of Mark Lawrence, because, you know, we talked about this in the interview with him. There's guys like Joey Styles gets a lot of credit, which he should, for being a solo commentator. Bill Mercer, obviously. Right. But Mark Lawrence definitely deserves that as well. And the icing on the cake, or the strawberry, whatever you want to call it, cherry on top, David Manning's the referee for this, who we interviewed as well.
Yes.
And David Manning, again, is so great. And if you know the story behind Gary Hart and Fritz, were buddies, you know, they're booking these matches. They went down the, like, they knew what was going on. So,
right.
You know, for Gary to go down this road and get his head shaved, which was a great look, by the way, he looked way more heelish bald.
I agree.
I thought it was brilliant. I love this match. You said it all, basically. You covered it.
But I can remember, you know, I feel like I took a discus punch.
Oh, but I mean, those discus punches were stiff, dude. Like,
yeah,
my head felt like it was ringing after watching this match. So, I love this match. And, you know, of course, as per usual, links to the match will be in the show notes. And you mentioned Slick, and I think Zombie Sailor Toys or Zombie Sailor also makes a Slick figure. Yeah.
There's two of them. There's two different I think there's two versions, two different outfits. Yeah. I've actually played with them. They're fun.
Oh, cool. Well, we'll throw a link to their website as well in the show notes. Just a shout out again to Zombie Sailor. I want to bring up a couple fun facts from 1985 because that's what we do on the show. We just bring a couple fun facts up, like we do on $2 Late Fee. You know, Dustin and I have been covering a lot of movies from 1985 on $2 Late Fee, and on this we're highlighting a few fun facts.
What's our crime? We're frozen, and oh, I'm unfrozen now.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good. That's I was stalling. Oh, good. So really quickly, because this match took place in May of 85, I'm going to pull a couple fun facts from May of 85.
I was five.
You were five in 85. Oh, my gosh.
I was 5 years old in May of 85. I was freshly five.
Wow, I was nine, dude. So you were starting kindergarten. I was starting fourth grade.
You're not hanging out with no kindergartners. Ew. Go eat some glue, nerd.
Hey, why don't you go to the jungle gym in the baby zone?
What? The jungle gym, the baby zone. In May of 85, Saturday Night's Main Event premiered on NBC, and with the main event of Hulk Hogan versus Bob Orton for the WWF World Heavyweight Championship. That's a big deal.
Oh, wow. Cowboy Bob.
Who I always thought... Cowboy Bob Orton and Roddy Piper, if they ever made a biopic, John C. Reilly and Mark Wahlberg would be a great pairing for Bob Orton and Roddy Piper.
You're not saying Mark Wahlberg is... I could see that now. Okay, I can see a little Dirk Diggler being like early Piper.
Yeah. A little bit.
I just wouldn't want to hear Roddy Piper with like a Boston accent.
I guess if this was 20 years ago, Mark Wahlberg, when he was still hungry, you know, trying to play.
That's right.
When he was obviously Dirk Diggler is his greatest role he's ever had, and it's a shame he never got nominated for an Academy Award.
That's right. And now he's shilling Jesus apps.
Right, exactly. But I will say Saturday Night's Main Event had a great theme song. I love the theme song for Saturday Night's Main Event.
Can you kind of refresh us on?
I think it was I thought it was like, din. Was it Obsession? Din 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 din
din din din din din. Oh yeah, din 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 din
din din. Exactly. There were a few television events in 1985. I found this interesting. During the halftime of the Boston Celtics versus the Philadelphia 76ers in an NBA playoff game, they had the first ever NBA draft lottery. During the playoff game.
Back when David Stern was still there.
Yeah,
because now they'll do it. I mean, that's how they do it now. That's kind of how I've always done it. I didn't know this was the first year they did it, but usually, now it's like, you're just saying the lottery, not the actual draft.
The draft lottery, yeah. So I guess the announcing of the who gets the first pick and whatnot.
Yeah, and we'll take a look again this summer when the Pistons probably pick five again, even though they have the worst record ever.
Isn't it crazy that your favorite team is the Pistons and so is mine?
I don't even know why, as long as Troy Weaver is there, my interest in staying a fan wanes like daily. So
look,
we'll see.
I haven't thought about the Pistons team. If you ask me who the Pistons starting five are, I'll say Joe Dumars, Vinnie Johnson, John Sally, Isaiah Thomas,
Bill Laimbeer.
Bill Laimbeer.
Yeah. I think if you asked them who the starting five is now, they still wouldn't know because they have had more players come in and out this season than any other team. Anyways, it's not about that, but yeah, 85. What other television events you were saying? So you got some cooked up there?
The last one I'll bring up as we close out this episode, Richard Dawson. Well, this goes into June. I have to tote it into June just because I thought it was important. After 9 years on The Family Feud, Richard Dawson retired on the show to be the host of Family Feud. Richard Dawson, of course, from the movie The Running Man. I think a lot of people will remember him from that.
Was he Killian, the villain?
He was the main guy. He was the host of the show, right?
Killian!
Yeah, exactly. And he was known on Family Feud for being a little too touchy-feely with his guests sometimes. He loved to give hugs and kisses to the female.
Oh my gosh.
On Family Feud. But yeah, he gave a very emotional speech to end his run on the Family Feud.
I've had the most incredible luck in my career. I've done lots and lots of jobs, and I've never ever had a job like Family Feud. I've never dreamed I would ever have a job where so many people could touch me and I could touch them. And there's a great magic about this show that I've never seen on any other show. There were people I know that got upset that I kissed people. I kissed them for luck and love, that's all. That's what my mother did to me. There were people upset that I would embrace or hug someone of a different color. The first time I ever saw people of any color was when D-Day left from my hometown in England to go and free Europe from the war. And there was every color you could imagine, and I'd not seen that in England. And I asked my mother about it. I said, is there something wrong? She said, God makes people. You understand that, don't you? And I said, yeah. She said, who makes a rainbow? I said, God. That I'd never presumed to tell anyone who could make a rainbow what color to make children. And she changed my whole life with that statement. All I can tell you is this has been a very special 9 years of my life. If I never do another thing, I've met the good, sweet people of the world. So I leave you with love. For the little girl that 9 years ago I first signed to, I guess she's 13 now, I'll think of you every day. God bless all the little children in the world. Thank you.
I love that part in Running Man when the janitor accidentally gets in front of him and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. No, that's okay. You're doing a great job here. And he's like, walks in and he goes, make sure he's fired by the end of the day or something. He walks.
Totally. I love that.
What a heel.
It's great heel. Great heel. But great face in Kerry Von Erich. Great heel in One Man Gang. And great announcing by our upcoming guest, Mark Lawrence. So this is the new format. We're wrapping it up for today. Any closing thoughts, Paul, on World Class Championship Wrestling?
I love having Mark Lawrence on color because a lot of people just saw him as kind of like an interviewer and kind of like the friendly face on camera. And so to have him doing, you know, play by play. I mean, is there a more trusting voice? Is there a more, you know, to me, he's kind of the Morgan Freeman of pro wrestling. Do you know what I mean? He's just so trusting.
Ooh, I like that.
You feel safe for all the right reasons.
Yeah.
You know,
agreed.
Listening to him. And he's just extremely trusting in his voice. And he calls it as he sees it. And he doesn't try to put himself over. That's one of the things I absolutely love about Mark Lawrence is that he never tries to put himself over.
No.
And that's as classy as it gets.
You'll hear his whole story very soon, and we'll talk about it in the episode, of course, but this is Mark Lawrence's interview, so this will be about Mark Lawrence, and you know, we'll cover the matches and hopefully we'll have him back on down the road and maybe we can dig a little bit deeper into specifics about like this match, for example, his recollections on it, because he kind of became a good buddy of ours.
Yeah, he's great.
So everybody go to territorymarks.com. You'll hear it in the outro. Join us on Instagram. Join the discussion. Go to Kayfabe Academy. All the links to the show notes are all there. If you want to get a t-shirt that says Taken by Force from Paul London, get that t-shirt, DM us on Instagram.
Or if you want to be taken by force from Zach Schaefer, those are also available. And if you're still trying to decide, but you know for sure that you've been taken by force from the territories, well, we got that for you as well. So
we got them all. We got tons of merch coming. We got a whole lot more. Stay tuned for everything. Next month's going to be a doozy too. But folks,
do you have a favorite movie from 85? Throwing a curveball.
God, Vision Quest is pretty darn good.
That's a solid pick.
And Vision Quest is actually going to be our upcoming episode on $2 late fee. So for next month. So little there teaser is there, folks. You heard it here first. Vision Quest.
Nice.
And we have an upcoming interview with somebody from Vision Quest. You'll hear more about that later.
Thanks. This is fun, man. I always enjoy my time with you and getting to share some territory wrestling with the rest of you territory marks out there.
Well, my modern day brother, I love you like no other. So
love you too, my man, my fellow night boy. Thank you. This has been fun.
Until next time, folks, be safe, be well, and be awesome.
Don't interfere in the matches unless you want your head shaved.
You whip your dad and your whole family too. My dad can whip your dad. My dad can whip your dad. My dad is a nice guy and hardly ever loses his cool. But I'm just a young lad, so if you think you're so bad. My dad can whip your dad and all your family too.
I don't want to come out here and blow my own horn. I don't want to toot my own horn, but toot, toot.
Thanks again for listening to Territory Marks. If you like what you hear, then consider giving us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. While you're at it, head on over to our Patreon too. The link is in our show notes.
And if you want more 80s nostalgia, go check out my tag partner, Zach, and our Terry Bam Bam of Ballyhoo, Dustin, over at $2LateFee.com, where the faces always win, even in the territories.
After he had loaded the boot, get rid of the load.
Oh, listen, I just wanted to say goodbye and remind you that the good guys always win. Even in the 80s.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.